Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Fusion Micro Finance Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Bhise from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 1Q FY24 earnings conference call of Fusion Micro Finance. First of all, I would like to thank the management of Fusion Micro Finance for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the management team, we have Mr. Devesh Sachdev, MD and CEO of Fusion Micro Finance, Mr. Gaurav Maheshwari, CFO, Mr. Tarun Mehendiratta, Chief Operating Officer of the MFI business, and Mr. Deepak Madan, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. As always, we will first begin with opening comments from Mr. Devesh Sachdev and then open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sameer and JM Financial for hosting us. Good evening, everyone, and we are thankful for joining Fusion's Q1 financial year 2024 results conference call. I am here along with my colleagues, Tarun, who is the CEO for MFI business, Gaurav Maheshwari, my CFO, Deepak Madan, who handles investor relations and also Chief Compliance Officer. I would request all of you to please keep the presentation handy because I may refer to some of the slides. So I'll straight away go to the slide number 18, please. We are off to a very good start in this quarter where disbursements were more or less similar to Q4 disbursements. The AUM at the end of Q1 stands at INR 9,711 crore, which is 31.4% growth year-on-year from Q1 of financial year 2023. We continue to remain focused on our business composition across states, maintaining positive traction in all our large states, as evident from the Q1 disbursement numbers. If I take you to the slide number 32, as per our earlier guidance, NIM expansion continues, and it is 10.89% as on Q1 2024. We have guided in the past that there is still some scope of increase in NIM before it stabilizes. Our profit after tax grew 60.40% year-on-year to INR 120.46 crore, up from 75 crore in Q1 of financial year 2023. The ROA stands at 4.99%. ROE is at 20.21%. As per our guidance, we are confident of delivering ROA of around 4.25%-4.5% and ROE of 18%-20% on a sustainable basis. We were the first company in the sector which came out with a strategy to create extra provisions under management overlay. We want to build extra buffer for uncertainties. Management overlay now stands at INR 57.68 crore. In good quarters, we'll keep on adding to this buffer as we have done in this quarter. Our credit cost has very marginally inched up in this quarter because of two, three reasons. We have increased our coverage from 96% to 118% year-on-year and from 107% to 118% quarter-on-quarter. This time, you all know we have witnessed floods in some parts of North India after many years. This is not a normal occurrence. Let me assure you that we are hopeful that the credit cost will normalize in next two to three quarters as we deal with these issues in a very organic manner. Our top five states today, Bihar, UP, Odisha, MP, and Tamil Nadu, have a concentration of 69.8% as of June versus 69% as of March and 74% as of financial year 2017. We are confident of maintaining prudent composition as other geographies will start contributing more to our business volumes. If I take you to slide 20, which highlights our mantra for success, which is maintaining consistent growth with focus on fundamental prudence, if I summarize the same for you, it will be very pertinent to talk about our consistency in adding new clients. We continue to maintain our focus on orienting our field teams in alignment with our overarching strategy of diversification and organic growth by adding new clients to the portfolio. We have a total number of 3.64 million borrowers as of Q1 of this financial year, registering a year-on-year growth of 25.5% and a quarter-on-quarter increase of 3% versus the last quarter, where the number of borrowers was 3.53 million. Staying on the same slide, within our portfolio, we continue to have a healthy mix of new and existing customers as reflected in our average ticket size, which is 42,400 as of Q1 versus 41,200 as of Q4, up only 3% outstanding per borrower, which is 25,800 versus 25,600, more or less it is at a similar level. We had mentioned in the last call also that we moved our slightly increased our first cycle ticket size because we had not done it in the last 3 years. Let me tell you that as we are becoming a more mature company, we are in mature markets, we are recalibrating our ticket size, we are looking at some of the geographies which are more mature, and especially for our mature customers. But I must assure you that any such thing, any such change which will be done, one, keeping in mind our risk, our prudence, and it will be very, very organic. A strong validation of our focus on borrower addition is that customers unique to Fusion as of March 23 were 33% as per data of the Credit Bureau. On our portfolio, our goal always have been to maintain a long-term view on building our business. Our consistent approach, prudently balancing growth and risk, adding on our network, we are continuously strengthening our processes, human capital, digital capabilities, and this shall help us to deliver sustainable growth subject to market conditions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Devesh. Good evening, everyone. Interest income has increased by 6.27% on Q-on-Q basis and 45.43% on year-on-year basis. As far as the total income is concerned, so it has increased to 6.16% on a Q-on-Q basis and 53.36% on year-on-year basis. The fee and commission income has increased by 109% due to increase in cross-sell. INR 7.69 crores in Q4 FY23 to INR 16.10 crores in Q1 FY24. Our annual cost of fund has increased by 16 BPS against Q1 FY2023, whereas our marginal cost of funds increased by 7 BPS on Q basis. The annual cost increase has been passed on to the customer. For FY23-24, our efforts would be to maintaining the same level of cost of borrowing. As of now, interest rate environment still remain uncertain. The operating cost has increased marginally by 5 BPS on Q basis. In this quarter, we have opened 17 branches pan-India. Cost income has marginally increased by 9 BPS from 36.18% Q4 FY23 to 36.26% in Q1 FY24. It would largely be the same for FY23-24. The pre-provision operating profit is 235.39 crores as on June 30th, 2023, which has increased of 96% compared to last financial year. It has increased by 6% from Q4 FY23 to Q1 FY24. The company has provided impairment of INR 75.08 crores in Q1 FY24. We have done write-off of INR 59.36 crores in Q1, which is 0.61% on closing AUM. Due to this write-off, we have de-recognized the interest income amounting to INR 19.38 crores in this quarter. The ECL as on June 23 is INR 328.38 crores, which includes 57.68 crores in management overlay. We have provided additionally 6.43 crores as management overlay in this quarter. Credit cost on closing AUM is 0.86%, but if we consider without management overlay, it stands at 0.79%. Restructured portfolio as on 30th June is 7.35 crores, which is 0.08% of the portfolio. The company has done direct assignment amounting to INR 343.11 crores in Q1 FY24. The outstanding as on June 30th, 2023 is 10.40% on the closing AUM. We would like to continue the same subject to market condition. Thank you.
Should we open the line for Q&A, sir?
Please.
All right. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my first question was pertaining to the collection efficiency. So if we look at that, that is still at 97%, which is still lower than where we are seeing most of the peers also operating. What explains this?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Shripal. This is Tarun. So, collection efficiency obviously is a huge leading indicator for how the portfolio performance is anticipated. And when you compare it with the previous two quarters, so this has become better at 97.3% for the overall portfolio. But what we also take confidence out of from is that when we look at our top five states, states like Bihar and Uttar Pradesh for us, are at levels of about 99%. And, we had always discussed that at sector level also, there were states like Madhya Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, and Odisha. But in our case, we have seen significant improvement in collection efficiencies in all these three states. So, for example, for us, Odisha today, from a level of about 93%, is at about 97%. And so is Madhya Pradesh, from a level of about 93.8% to about 97.2%. And Tamil Nadu has also shown substantial, improvement from 93 to about 97. So we are very hopeful that, going forward, all these states which have shown improving trends will also add to the overall collection efficiency performance. And we will see, this gap actually being nullified and probably, being at par as to, what you just kind of mentioned as your observation about the sector level efficiency.
So, sir, then what would, even on provisioning front, our provision, like credit cost during this quarter was 3.2%, which is, I understand there is management overlay that we have as a cushion, but, what is the guidance for this year and what is it towards? Because during this quarter also we've taken a write-off of 60 crore, close to 60 crore. So, is this the end of the COVID related or is this towards the new book that we have created over the last couple of years? From that, is this pool coming from? So if you could explain this.
So largely if you see that in the collection efficiency slide, there is a breakup of the pre-April book and the post-April 21 book. So still there is a 68 crores of portfolio which is left behind. And as Devesh has mentioned in his opening remarks, the normalized credit cost would be seen post 2-3 quarters. I think from December onwards, you will see that the older portfolio we go out from the portfolio and you will see the normalized credit cost. This credit cost as you are extrapolating for 3.2%, but it is largely what Devesh has given in his opening remarks, that these are the broad 2-3 reasons.
Hello.
Has been
I think the phone will disconnect.
Yeah, go ahead please sir. Your phone is connected.
Hello.
Thank you.
So there was couple of reasons which Devesh has given.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear us?
We can hear Shripal.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, you were not able to hear the management?
No, the management was not audible.
Are we audible now?
Yes, you're audible.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. So largely, if you see that from the collection side, there is a still old portfolio, which is 68 crores, which is 0.7% is left behind, which is going to take another quarter or so. You will see a normalized credit cost on the new portfolio from December onwards. Slightly, as Devesh has mentioned in his opening remarks, that the credit cost is slightly, because of two, three reasons, slightly looks elevated. But you will see that the guidance for credit cost will come in the next quarter. We are reviewing internally that how it is going to be. But the guidance for the older portfolio is like that before in December quarter, post December quarter, you will see the normalized credit cost.
Got it, sir. So last question on the portfolio yield. So, I mean, what is our incremental portfolio? What is our incremental disbursement yield? And what percentage of our portfolio could get repriced in the next, 6 months as part of the renewal?
Yeah, so we had mentioned in the past also that the new price, under the new pricing guideline, the rates were changed in May 2022. We also mentioned that you will see the NIM actually expanding in the next two quarters also before it stabilizes. So it is in that traction only. So you can see more or less, you know, the overall, it is a 17 months kind of, you know, the asset which stays on the book. So if you take it from May, so you can just, you know, you can see, I think, in next two quarters, the whole churning will be done by that time, and most of the portfolio will be at the new price.
But got it. Thank you so much.
After that,
thank you so much.
We had done recently also some price change, which Gaurav mentioned. That has to, but I'm just talking about the major change which happened in May 2022.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. And good luck for the next quarter, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on.
Piran, your line is breaking. Can I request you to come in network area or use the handset mode?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
I can hear you better now.
Okay, great. So thanks for taking my question and congrats on the quarter. I just wanted to understand now this, you know, few corporates have called out, you know, higher level of indebtedness in rural unsecured loans. Just wanted to get a sense of how y'all are seeing it. And if you could share some data points, for example, what percentage of your customers have more than 1 lakh outstanding at a system level, not just with y'all, something like that would help. And my second question is, just conceptually, it may not be applicable today, but maybe 3-4 quarters later, when cost of funds starts going down due to repo rate cuts, will you pass it on to borrowers or do we see spread expansion then?
Yeah. So, Piran, thank you. I'll first take your first the question. You said on the unsecured loan, especially in the rural areas, there is a level of co-indebtedness or a high level of debtness which is happening, which has been called out by some corporates. So I'll first give you data. So the customers which are our customers, the last portfolio cut which we took from the credit bureau, having a loan which is more than 1 lakh, you know, across current balance, it is hovering around, you know, 20%. 20% of customers have loans which are more than 1 lakh. And then the second point was that, you know, customers having more loans than us. I think that, you know, still the unique customers are around 33-34%, you know, with other one loan other than us is around 30%. Two loans other than us is, you know, again 20%. So customers having more than five loans is four or five loans is just 2.5%. We have not seen retail overlap is still 15%, 16% in the our customer base, because we being a ruler MFI. So, but yes, that's why, you know, Piran, we mentioned that we are very calibrated. Today, if you see, for a mature customer, we do not, the highest loan which we give is around 85,000-90,000. We have not even crossed 100,000. If you look at the sector, I think everyone does loans more than that. But we are also looking at it, that how we can, especially for our mature customers. Other thing is that if you remember, you know, last time also we mentioned that customers which are maturing need a larger loan. Those customers will be serviced by our MSME team, where the branches are and are now getting opened, the similar location where we are present. So that, because that team has a better understanding of cash flow and they will do it with a certain kind of quasi or some level of security. So that's, right now we do not see any such pain in any area broadly, though there's some disruptions because of the floods. But yeah, we are continuously, we'll, you know, look at this, and we will continuously monitor this all this thing, and we'll be sharing the some of these cuts with you every quarter.
Got it. Thank you. And on the other question?
Yeah, on the question of if the interest rates go down, and yes, I think, look, I have mentioned this many times, that when we look at NIM or we look at ROA and ROE, we keep two, three things in mind. One is definitely what kind of ROA and ROE we want to give to the shareholders. We look at the customer also, and look at the spirit of the regulation from the regulator point of view. So if we'll be very measured wherever we think that if we are the kind of NIM we want to maintain and kind of ROA, ROE we are able to give, then definitely we would like that if anything more than that yield goes, you know, more than that, we will definitely like to pass on to our customer. So that's the spirit, because customer definitely we have to keep in center, and regulator is also very, very cognizant of some of these things. So we are, as a responsible organization, would like to maintain a balance between all the three stakeholders.
Got it. And just one last clarification, your pre-2021 portfolio of 0.7-0.8%, so is this the entire portfolio, or is there some already in stage 3 and not part of the 0.7?
So this is already a part of stage 3.
The 0.7 is in stage 3. So
Yeah. Basically
2.5% of stage 3 is basically from the post-2021 portfolio.
No, so Piran, we need to slightly dig deeper. We have to compare with what is my PAR 90 plus number, because gross NPA includes your accrued interest on stage 3. But if we are talking about 68 crores as a portfolio, it doesn't include the interest on that. So we need to have an apple-to-apple comparison. Again, 68 crores, what is my PAR 90 portfolio number? So if we carve out that, it goes below 2%.
So you're saying your PAR 90 of your post-2021 portfolio is sub 2%?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, makes sense. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is on the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Hi Devesh and team, and congrats on a great set of numbers. Sir, just two questions, one on the fee and commission line item. So that particular line item has been growing steadily on sequential basis. So can you please throw some light on what is driving that growth on the fees and commission line item?
So Ranesh, this is largely because on the cross-sell we have, in this quarter we have increased. We have sold certain of our existing product to our existing customers, which is largely on the requirement on the monsoon, like a trampoline or mobile phone we have slightly more focused on. So you will not, because there is a seasonality to it, because now this year we have seen a lot of monsoon across India, and being pan-India, so we have to use our network. Apart from that, you will, if you want to see in this quarter also, you will see Mite and Attraction into this quarter. But for a whole year, this is not going to be a exceptional scenario. This is going to be as normal as it was.
Got it. And, you know, so whenever we do this cross-sell, it is being funded by us only, or this is, the, let's say, the cash given by the customer?
So it is a combination. There are also cases where the amount of the, like for example, you're doing some inverter bulb or something where the amount is too low, customer pays also. But yes, wherever the amount goes beyond 1,000, definitely it is getting funded. We are not bundling it up. We are not going. We are not very aggressive on this thing. We are very calibrated and looking at whatever the customers you know, require. So that's how we look at it.
Got it. So if I had to assume that this is not a basically a strategic focus, but this is more to retain the customers.
Absolutely.
Got it. And so, secondly, again, you know, circling back to the credit cost line item. So, you know, so when we look at the credit cost, you know, remaining steep at around 3%, at the same time, we are also creating a management overlay, of course, you know, given the strong operating performance. But then why not writing off the portfolio and clean up the balance sheet instead of creating a management overlay?
So, there are two things. You know, one, we are doing it very consistently. I remember last time also this question came from Rajiv Mehta. So, and we mentioned that our current, you know, write-off policy allows us to write off only after 365 days. I also mentioned that this was discussed in the last board meeting, which was the post our March numbers board meeting. In this board meeting, which happened yesterday, we have the policy to write off after 270 days has been approved. So going forward, yes, we will be looking at it.
Got it. I think this is very, very helpful, sir. And just last question. On the growth side, of course, you know, growth has been moderating on YOY basis, but it's still strong at 30%. So any growth guidance would you like to share, sir, for this year?
No, I think, Arish, we mentioned it last time. There will be calibrated, but wherever the sector is growing, we will be at least equal or more than that. I mean, you can read it that even in a quarter, which is normally a very lull quarter, our numbers are more than even what we did in Q3. So yeah, I think I will stick to the similar stand in which I have taken. But overall, we are looking at a good momentum, and we are very confident of that. Whatever is the industry average will be either equal or slightly more than the industry average.
Got it, sir. Thank you, and best of luck for coming quarter, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Hi. Congrats on very good numbers. So, sir, first question is on the slippages in the quarter. So, I mean, if you can quantify the gross, you know, addition in the NPL bucket. And you spoke about the flood impact. So what percentage of slippages, you know, came from because of floods? And whether we see more slippages coming, you know, from floods going ahead?
So, yeah. So, Rajiv, look, what we've looked at is that when we look at the overall, you know, in the previous question from Perrin, Gaurav mentioned that the 90-plus is less than 2%. So if I do a breakup of that, what we look at it is that 40% is coming from some of these states where there is a 2-3 states where there has been a flood. So also let me share with you, though it's too early, but that's what we said, that this quarter, because there's an impact, is still continuing. And Rajiv, we handle these things very organically, because you know, in these situations, you have to be with the customer. You cannot be, you know, pressurizing the customer. You don't want to create a pressure cooker situation. So you work with the customer. So we are working with the customer. We activate our CSR program. Let me tell you, huge relief work we have done. Whenever, you know, we meet or speak separately, we can share with you. Huge relief work is happening in some of these geographies. And as we mentioned,
we would like to wait for next 1 or 2 months, and after September we'll have a more clarity how this is panning out. We are also reorienting our strategy in some of these geographies, not doing, you know, in some of the branches, not doing fresh customers, only looking at the existing customers. So we are, because, you know, we are used to having a floods in Bihar and some of the parts of Odisha for last many years. And the teams are also oriented to handle some of these things. But this is the first time these geographies have faced this situation. But overall, things looks to be in control. So I think, as I mentioned earlier, we are very confident of normalizing it, and we'll give some guidance around it in the next quarter.
Sure, sir. And sir, when you talk about your par 90 number being 2% on the new portfolio, how does it stack up versus the industry par 90 number on this new portfolio? Is it, are we better or are we the same level?
So Rajiv, industry par 90 numbers, you know, broadly if you look at state by state, at the time that we are discussing this, we do not get published updated data. Point number two, I think the leading indicator there is for the bigger states. So for every finance company, you know, there is a set of states which are larger, which contribute, you know, to the portfolio in a significant manner. We have been stacking up, like we covered last time also, much better than the industry from a leading indicator standpoint. We look at 60 plus numbers and we look at collection efficiency. So like we mentioned earlier, Bihar, Uttar Pradesh for us, now there's been significant improvement in MP, in Tamil Nadu, by close to about 4 to 5 percentage points in Odisha. And Bihar continues to be at 99%, UP continues to be at 99%. So, I mean, definitely, you know, we stack up equal or better, you know, in our significant states. You know, so really that is how we would like to compare it in the absence of updated, you know, published data, you know, that we get in the public space.
Got it. So just one last question, sorry, for one more. If you can give us your portfolio mix from a borrower vintage perspective, you can break your AUM, you know, from a borrower vintage perspective, and what will be our borrower retention rate for the subsequent cycle, typically?
So, see, let me give you a kind of a top level analysis here. So, let me just look at the branch vintage to start with, and typically, you know, branch vintage will also be a good factor of a borrower vintage. So, branches which is greater than 3 years of existing with me, you know, typically are let's say around 53% of my branches, 54% of my branches, and they contribute close to about a you know, 64 to 67% of my POS. Now, if I look at this number, like we covered in the last call, that we have been very, very consistent in opening up branches even during COVID times, right? So we have a very good mix of, you know, branches which are greater than 3 years now. And out of 1,100 branches, we also have a very good mix of branches which have been opened over the last 1.5 to 2 years, which will now start kind of, you know, giving us the kind of, you know, productivity levels that we've seen from our vintage branches. So just to answer your question specifically, greater than 3 year branches, which means largely customers with us of greater than 3 years vintage contribute to about 53% in terms of numbers, and in terms of portfolio closer to about a 65-66% level.
And the retention ratios are hovering between 70-72% for us, Rajiv.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarpan Shah from Haitong India. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So just first to clarify, so you mentioned that only 2-2.5% of your borrowers have loans from more than 4 or 5 lenders. Is that right, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now so the thing is, you know, when we look at the industry data.
2.2.
Okay. Sorry?
2.1%.
Okay. Thanks. So when I look at the industry data, you know, number of borrowers which have more than 4 lenders in the state of Bihar has gone up from, say, sub 4% in June 21 to almost 9% in March 23. So definitely there has been increase in competition. So how are we trying to protect our turf in the core state?
Yeah, so I will
partly answer it. I let Tarun answer the second part. The first, I'll tell you that when this harmonized guidelines came in and the 2MFI rule was removed, we still have a number of borrowers, rule. We, do not fund our existing customer where relationships are more than five. So that is the reason that we do not have borrowers which have relationship. Yeah, but yeah, still, if the borrower builds a relationship after taking a loan from us, next time we don't renew that. So that's, we have a clear guardrail as far as the number of, lenders to a borrower is concerned. So we are more prudent in that context. So, but I let Tarun handle, how we are trying to protect the term.
Also, yes, just adding to what Devesh said, Bihar, of course, has been one of the better performing states in the sector over the last few years. Now, I think what really makes the difference for us is a very well-entrenched network. So we have close to now about 142 branches in the state of Bihar, and we have covered it pretty well. But also the fact that we have experience of cycles in Bihar, and we have a very well-entrenched team there. So typically, if you look at stability of the team, I think that really makes a lot of difference. And obviously goes on to say here that, the culture towards microfinance for the people of Bihar, as demonstrated by them, has also been a great enabler. This coupled with what Devesh just mentioned as a guardrail that we've kind of built internally for us, which, essentially is not necessarily there with others as well. I think we are today very confident of how our portfolio continues to behave in Bihar. And we have seen this very closely, during the COVID times and even post-COVID. And all our leading indicators are tracking very positively.
Okay. Thanks for this. My next question is on the concentration of portfolio. The top five states, gradually have been increasing for the last couple of quarters. When do we see the other states contributing meaningfully in the business?
Yeah, I think what we believe is that in the next three to at least by end of this year, you will see either it is stabilizing or going down. That's our effort.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And last thing is, if you can, quantify the 90 plus in our key states, if possible, say Bihar, UP, Tamil Nadu, if you can quantify them.
Five states. Yeah. Just a minute.
Just give us 1 second, please. I'm just digging that number. Just give me 1 second. So you wanted this can I cover this for you in terms of percentage?
Yeah, percentage will be fine.
Yeah. So in the state of Bihar, as of June 23, our 90 plus is about 0.7%.
Okay.
And in the state of Uttar Pradesh, it is close to about 1%.
Okay.
In Odisha, it has significantly come down to about 2.8%.
Okay.
In the state of Tamil Nadu, which is also amongst our top five, it has again significantly come down to levels of about 3.5-3.6%. And in the state of MP, again, it is closer to a 3% level.
So if I can just squeeze in one last question on this only, when I look at the industry number which I have for March, for the state of Tamil Nadu and MP, our numbers are significantly higher. If you can just explain this in detail, why is it so?
No, so I am not having the industry's published numbers for Tamil Nadu and Madhya Pradesh with me on the 90 plus level. But
as on March, Tamil Nadu was at 0.9% for 90 plus, and MP was at around 1.4%.
Yeah, I'll have to refer back to those numbers, and I would be able to only give you an answer once I'm able to dissect the comparison.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you very much for this, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Slightly low, but yes, you're audible.
Is it better now?
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So, sir, just have two questions on things that you've already shared in this earnings call. Could you please explain your write-off policy once again? You talked about earlier having 365 days, and in your board meeting yesterday, it's come down to 275 days. So, if you could just explain that once again.
The write-off policy was that when the days past due is more than 365 days, then only we write off from the book, which has been now been changed to 270.
Got it. So essentially, sir, this 68 crores of pre-April 21 portfolio, pre-March 21 portfolio that you have, these are all people who've been paying, and that's why they've still not crossed 360 days? And that's why they've not been written off yet?
So, Abhijit, what is happening? So, there is a recency to these customers to the tune of, if we look at the range of 500 rupees to maybe 3000 rupees in last 6 months. So that's the way it is not being being considered into write-off.
All right. And the other thing I wanted to understand is, again, you shared during this earnings call that after you increased your lending yields back in May 2022, you have again increased the yields once again. So if you could just explain what was the quantum of that increase and when was that done?
So, as in the opening remarks, we have said that we have passed on this increase to the ultimate customer. So, as we see that there is a increase in the annual cost of funds, so we have passed on near about 40 BPS to the customer, and it will be starting from July onwards, 7th July, I would rather be very precise. And it will have obviously incremental impact on the incremental portfolio which we are going to lend.
Got it. So essentially from 7 July 2023, you have increased it by another 40 basis points.
Yeah, right.
So that repricing benefit as even the loans originated between May 2022 and June 2023, even they will get that benefit if and when they get repriced.
Yeah.
Well, sir, just one last question. Thank you for patiently answering my questions. Just one last question. In addition to floods, I mean, and you have already shared that maybe after the end of the second quarter, you will be in a better position to kind of guide for credit costs for this year. But in addition to the disruption that you are seeing or slippages that you are seeing because of these floods, are there any near-term risks that worry you?
No. I don't think any near-term risks are worrying us. This is a business. This is operating risk is already there. Is always there in this kind of business. You need a lot of human capital. Keep on building human capital is one aspect. Otherwise, I do not see any risk. We are strengthening, as I mentioned, we are strengthening our risk management, looking at portfolio cuts, looking at customer behavior, orienting our team accordingly. So, yeah, I don't see any other big risk or anything which is bothering us.
But sir, this is very, very congratulations and best wishes to the Fusion team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Shial from InQuad Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions, but just quickly. Now, you say that we are seeing an increase of, top four states or five states having a concentration of roughly around 69%. You're saying that, during the next couple of quarters, you will see that gradually is easing off. So which are the new states which you think or which you are exploring which will, you know, be having a relatively superior growth? Can you give some idea on that?
So, you know, I'll try and answer your question in two parts. So, yes. Like I mentioned to you, we also have a list of what we call significantly sized states, right? So other than UP and Bihar, so we have Orissa, MP and Tamil Nadu. But other than that, you know, so there is Rajasthan and there is Gujarat and you know, so on and so forth. What we have seen is that, you know, like you mentioned, so there has been a consistent momentum also built in other states other than not just the top two or three, but other states, you know, on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And we have also mentioned, like we covered in the last call, we have made forays into Karnataka. That's a new geography for us. There was a favorable order passed for AP and Telangana, and we are also kind of, you know, positively looking at that. So, this year, with these three states, and these are like significant potential states in the entire scheme of things, contributing and the ones already existing also building momentum, not just Bihar and UP, I think what Devesh mentioned, I think we should be able to kind of stabilize like we've always been saying and also look at the shift in terms of concentration maybe, you know, towards the end or the beginning of the next financial year, as was mentioned earlier.
Understood. That's helpful. Secondly, though, you know, I agree that we haven't seen the ticket size rise last almost like 3 years, but last two quarters we are seeing, you know, a bit of rise happening along with obviously customer additions, and that is what EUM pool is coming up. So what is, at this point of time, an ideal ticket size that you're looking up to? So, you know, around 42,000 if I see it correct. So up to what level you would be comfortable with? So I know that, you know, it would be different from state to state and all. But what is an average ticket size that you would be comfortable with?
Yeah, I think one, if you see, we are still below than the average ticket size in the sector. We are not very aggressive. What I'm saying, as a strategy, do not do multiple loans. So you have to, if you look at both the factors, and we are in many geographies, we are maturing. Our highest ticket size, as I mentioned, is still less than 1 lakh. So coming very serious, very specific this thing, I think we will see that at least 10 to 12% growth from where we are right now this year. And then we will take a call. So we are around 42,000 on average. This may move to around 46,500, 47,000. I don't think this will go beyond this this year. And then we will take a call depending on the customer requirement, depending on the economy, depending on the paying capacity of the customer. So all those factors will be kept in mind when we really give you any guidance around it. But right now we will like to make sure that overall there's not more than 10 to 12% growth from here in the next three quarters.
Understood. And just lastly, so I understand that there had been a bit of a spike in the on the credit cost front, obviously adjusting for your management overlay as well. And we are seeing that next two quarters, you probably will see a bit of, you know, rise and a bit of elevated levels only. But what is an ideal, this is something probably new for me, but what is an ideal credit cost you are looking for going forward? Once, I mean, adjusting for this, right, but what will be an ideal credit cost that we should be assuming, say, for the full year? Not FY24, but overall in general, what is your comfortable credit cost level?
You know, looking at, I have mentioned in the past also that, yes, after how the asset class has matured, there is a competition, customer has also, ticket size have gone up and everything. And now with the pricing, you know, flexibility you have, and keeping in mind it's unsecured business, I think ideally I would like that the credit cost remain anywhere between 1.5 to 2.25, you know, up to 2% kind of thing. Because you have the now capacity to really, because keeping in mind this is unsecured. So I think that is what, and if you're still able to protect your NIM ROA around 4.25 to 4.5, So I think this should be this is a good business to be in.
Understood. And just lastly, one data giving point, probably I missed it. Have you shared the slippage number for the quarter, or in case I missed it? What is the incremental?
We have not provided any incremental slippage data separately.
Oh, okay. Understood. That's helpful and all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So you said that there are these ticket sizes increases which have happened. So one obviously would have been in the vintage customers, but the geographies like Tamil Nadu, Orissa, where we have seen relatively higher delinquencies for us. So are we increasing the ticket sizes over there as well, or there basically we are taking more of a cautious approach first to basically bring down NPAs and then only look at increasing ticket sizes?
So good question, Anand. So the point is, like Devesh mentioned earlier as well, so last time we increased actually, ticket sizes was some time ago. And even when you look at our quarter one, which has just passed, and even the previous quarters, you will see, as compared with industry data, we maintain a very, very significant gap, because, that kind of a gap also matters a lot when you're going with your offering to the customer. But I think what we have been able to balance it out with is a very, very consistent approach of diversifying our coverage strategy, which gives us very many unique to Fusion and customers with, let's say, one trade and so on and so forth, where I think based on the customer's requirement and our understanding of the customer's household status, we are able to give them the right or the optimal level of ticket size. Coming to evolved markets like Tamil Nadu and Gujarat, you see, so Tamil Nadu historically has been at a level where the sector has seen. Unfortunately, I think post-COVID wave 2 and then after that, due to some of these natural events, I think Tamil Nadu portfolio, had a little bit of a challenge. But I think our strategy always has been to resolve our people's issues in terms of their ability, livelihood, which is hit organically, and which is what we still continue to do. So we have seen, like I mentioned to you earlier, significant improvement in our portfolio collections in Tamil Nadu and so also in Odisha. So now when we, next time when we take a call, I think we will definitely take into cognizance pockets, as to how they are behaving, how they have behaved, and typically what were the contributing factors to that behavior. Wherever we see it was a factor which was more internalized to the community or the pocket or the district, I think we will take a call accordingly. But, it's when we will cross the bridge really when we come to it. Like Devesh mentioned, we are at that level of about 42,000, and it's been consistent with how our strategy has been over the past few quarters.
Also, I would just like to add here, when we talk about ticket size, let's say, for example, I'll come to the first cycle. If you remember last two calls, we had mentioned that we've increased the first loan cycle from 30,000 to up to 40,000. But if I can give you data of June, my average ticket size for the first cycle is still 37,500.
Correct.
The point we are trying to drive here is that it is up to 40,000. So depending on the geography, people may still do 30,000 loan, 35,000 loan.
Correct.
Similarly, when I talk about ticket size, that if I say, okay, for a particular cycle, you can give up to this, does not mean that you have to give that only. The teams there make their own judgment that, okay, looking at the geography, looking at the customer behavior, looking at the credit, overall quality, the teams then say, okay, even though we can go up to X, but let's still remain X minus 5% or X minus 10%.
Right. And so secondly, you said that you have a 90 DPD somewhere about 3.5% in Tamil Nadu. But when we're actually comparing with industry, because I think industry has a different write-off standard. If I'm not wrong, some of the players have a 270 write-off standard,
yeah.
Whereas you were somewhere at about 365, right? So I think comparing the number directly with the other players doesn't make sense, right? Because if you had also written off earlier on, then possibly the 90 DPD number for you would have been lower. Is it correct?
Yeah, this could be one factor, but we have to still look at the data. But you are right. Look, there are two factors. One is, accelerated write-offs. Second is that if you want to handle the situation more organically, I think these are, in my view, are the two reasons that we handle it more organically. But yes, we have to look at the data. But we are improving. Let me tell you, it was it went as high as 5.30. If I talk about last year, you know, and then now it has come to something like 3.6. So organically it is improving, and we will hopefully, you know, I can tell you, especially in some of these geographies, that when we'll talk about September, so this number will look better as far as the Tamil Nadu is concerned.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Cheda from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Capital. So my question was do we have the collection efficiency number for July?
No, sorry, we will not like to share that.
Okay, and then the second question was, we alluded that we have a 99% collection efficiency in the state of Bihar and UP, which are our biggest states, and then in Tamil Nadu, MP and Orissa, we have reached closer to 97%, and our total collection efficiency is also 97%. So which are say a couple of states wherein the collection efficiency is below 95% or the lowest collection efficiency?
So you see, like we mentioned earlier, so there were some states which were registering a lower efficiency. But typically in all our states, we have seen, you know, significant improvement. However, to your specific point, so let me tell you that in Haryana, where, you know, we saw prolonged, you know, challenges, right, from farmers' agitation to parts of wave two COVID, and then, you know, looking at recent, you know, unexpected rains in the month of June, and so on and so forth. So that, you know, state for us is typically at a level of close to about 93.9%, close to about 94%. And similarly, there are some other states where, you know, we have seen improvement but have been lower, like Punjab. So Punjab, again, with Haryana, was one of the states which bore the brunt of, you know, farmer agitation, and then, you know, some of the other challenges, including now, you know, again, rains and you know, in the last weeks of June. So we have seen improvement in these 2-3 states as well. But we think that even what we are seeing as traction on a regular basis, we are confident that even they will start contributing better to the overall collection efficiency number. And so Bihar and UP continue to be at levels of 99%. So typically there has been no let up really in that. So they continue to drive the overall efficiency.
Okay, sure, sir.
I think I on the, you know, this elevated rate cost and our comment on the floods. So I can understand that some people may think that the floods came, you know, in July, or June, and how is this impacting the June number? But I think primarily what is happening is there are customers who were in the 60 to 90 bucket and they were paying, you know, because this kind of customer cannot pay the full amount. So those customers have flown. So I just wanted to, 30 to 60 a customer or a 60 to 90 customer has flown to the next bucket. So that is what I wanted to clarify.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to Mr. Sameer Bhise for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this call today evening. And thank you to the management of Fusion Microfinance for giving us the opportunity to host the call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, everyone. Good evening.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of JM Financial, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.